Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
How did the Cubs beat Pirates ace Paul Skenes today?
My first answer, Layla, is this. They should just hope he has a bad day.
Here comes the 0-2 by Skenes. Swanson, it's a high fly ball, deep right center field. Cruz giving chase at the track near the wall. He leaps, and this one is gone. Dansby Swanson. Now the batter, Kyle Tucker, he drills one deep right center field, way back, still going at the wall. Reynolds looks up, and this one's gone. Tie ball game. Here's the 3-0, and a high fly ball into deep left field. Canario going back. He looks up. This is gone. Saya gives the Cubs the lead. Third home run for the Cubs here in the fifth.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hello and happy Friday to you. The weather did not cooperate with our happy Friday. Rude weather. That's rude. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Rahimi and Harris, our producers. Are Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer. You can watch us on Twitch, Chicago 670 The Score. That is twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. A lot of people texting in as well, 312-644-6767. And we have a bit of a, we have a little sexy baseball Friday, even though it's not sexy outside, even though it's May.
It could still get sexy outside. I mean, it's early in the day, right? These clouds could part mysteriously and magically and have a sunny afternoon, right?
I like your hype for the weather. I like your speech.
Man, it's Friday. I'm hyped for everything
coach
right
it
now.
Up.
We're about to get out. Listen, I have a doctor's appointment today. After that, I'm gone.
Oh yeah, you are gone.
I'm gone. Well, no. I'm leaving town tomorrow. I'm just saying. I'm outside this afternoon.
Oh, you're going outside today.
Yeah. A little rain or a little threat of rain is not going to stop me from having a positive Friday evening experience.
I think that might be the move. I stayed in last week. I got a lot of
work. Have I
done.
Just talked you into also stepping outside?
I think you did.
Yeah.
Because I did not do that the last few weeks. Actually, I've been pretty chill.
I know so. Who's going to be inside, the Cubs, because you know technically this. The ballpark they play at is indoors?
I don't know. It's a retractable roof. And
you think it's going to be open?
I don't know what the stipulations are for it in Milwaukee.
I feel like temperature-wise, it's not going to be pleasant.
But like I will never forget going there as a reporter and then realizing, oh, you all close the roof here when it's cold.
Yes. That
what a concept. I'm used to the opposite, where if it's over 85 degrees, that roof gets shut. So that's a I don't know if it's the spicy meatball is not that. That is just a plot twist.
The brewers typically close the roof of American Family Field if the temperature is expected to drop below 63 degrees or if rain is forecast after the first pitch.
Well, it's going to be below 63.
There you go.
Like, and that was the other thing. You know, I think a lot of people went to the NFL draft and it's outside thinking that it was going to be not the temperature it was in Green Bay.
It's Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, and then they learned really quickly, like, May and late April is no guarantee around these parts when it comes to the spring. I also think that out of all the places I've lived, everybody's always like, oh, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. And the only place where it's actually true is here. I feel like the biggest swings in temperature and weather come in Chicago.
We're talking about a day-to-day situation?
Yeah, like, you know, I heard it in Philly. I heard it in Dallas. I even heard it in Houston, which was silly. Nobody said it in San Diego because that would just be lying. But I definitely, you know, heard it everywhere else. And it actually, I think, reigns true here.
I think it's somewhat true in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh as well. I think anywhere above the Mason-Dixon line this time of year, you're going to get some 40-something degree days. You're going to get some 70-something degree days.
Poor Pittsburgh had that tornado warning right before they had to play the first game of the series with the Cubs and the Pirates, and that was wild. I texted Elise Miniker because I was like, are you okay? Like, I don't think I've ever been at a game where there was a tornado warning present.
I think the tornado warning thing has become way more commonplace than it was, say, 20 years ago, you know, with the climate change.
There was one
else.
High school football game that I was at, and I actually talked to, like, Dennis Franchione about it, who was the coach at TCU. He was, at the time, the coach at TCU. We talked about it, like, years later, because LaDainian Tomlinson was on that team when I was in high school, and we were talking about how everybody had to evacuate.
I'll never forget on these very airwaves before a Cubs game just a couple of seasons ago where there were tornado sirens going off and the game was delayed. Like, it was at Wrigley, and you were listening to Zach and Ron Coomer and hearing sirens. That was very crazy.
Well, there also used to be a time where they didn't care about lightning only in certain sports. You know, some sports had a stipulation where if there was lightning, then you'd wait half an hour past the previous strike. And for whatever reason, like, that wasn't the case everywhere in baseball. And I was always weirded out by that. None of that matters, though, at American Family Field. The only thing that matters is we finally get a Cubs and Brewers series. Taking long enough, guys.
Yeah, I think the big thing for the Cubs is they can feel good going into the series because they were able to take 2 out of 3 despite not winning when Paul Skenes was on the mound, because they said, hey, you know what, Paul Skenes, I think Dustin said this very poignantly, he puts his pants on one leg at a time like everyone else.
Yeah, he does, except the problem is he throws a fastball like nobody else, so that's why the issue was.
That's usually a problem, but he had his lowest velocity of the season yesterday, and it showed. You just heard in the open, Dansby Swanson, 0-2 pitch, and he takes it the other way for a home run. The other thing was he threw more balls yesterday from a percentage standpoint, 43% of his pitches were balls, than he has in any other point in his career, tied his career high for walks as well. He did not have his best stuff, and the Cubs, thankfully, able to take advantage.
That's it. Good teams take advantage of pitchers' mistakes. That is a tried and true discussion. And the difference is when you have many people who know when the mistake is and how to execute when they see it. That is, it sounds so simple, but I feel like when you are confident in your, as we've talked about many times even, not just your 1 through 5, when your 6 through 9 know what mistake they see out of somebody like that and they're hunting for it, and they know what that guy brings to the table, and they're unafraid, and the protection in the lineup, no matter what anybody tries to tell you, look how it has mattered this season. That's you're more confident. You play a little more easy because you know somebody else is likely going to pick you up. And Ian Happ even talked to us about that. So the individual at-bats are not as stressful because you know that the outcome is likely still going to go in your team's favor with enough time.
The fact that Skenes came into that game having been so dominant. He had never given up more than 2 home runs in a game in his career. Now, obviously, the career is short. But he gave up 3 home runs in 1 inning? That's wild.
Well, and also, it stands to be discussed the times through the order, too. To be able to hit Paul Skenes like that in a late part of his start indicates to you that they're picking up on what he was putting down, you know, after seeing him previously. Like, that is indicative of what you're seeing. But to be able to do that for power the way they did, The other piece of this, and I'm getting a little ahead of it here, but I always keep an eye out for pitchers, especially who have a huge college background, where their team goes to the College World Series. They've thrown a lot of innings. They throw a lot of pitches per games in college. You know, and then you come onto the scene, and I think the Pittsburgh Pirates did the absolute right thing in bringing him up. Obviously, how many different indications did you need of the accolades that he got last year to prove that correct? But again, yeah, I feel like with a lot of these guys, it's the velocity loss, or maybe even if it's not a direct Tommy John situation, the watch on the elbow and the watch on those ligaments, it's only a matter of time. So I wonder about, like, are we seeing a sophomore slump out of him, or are we seeing just miles on the arm starting to add up?
Wait, when you say it's only a matter of time, you're saying until he wears down or until he actually gets hurt, like Tommy John style?
I mean, that's it. It's just, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be Tommy John. Like, Justin Steele is not dealing with that, but you're still dealing with some sort of mileage on the ligaments inside your arm there that may indicate that you're not the guy you were when you came up. You know, even Michael Kopech had that situation. Same thing. You know, that guy could hit 110 on a gun. I'm not saying that's the case here, but either way, when there's velocity loss and you see a command issue like we saw yesterday, take advantage, batter up.
It's interesting because we talked about the Cubs' approach at the plate against Paul Skeens. And the whole thing is, well, you got to be aggressive, but also you got to make him throw pitches. Well, if he's throwing strikes, it's a lot harder to do anything with him, because either you're going to make something happen early or you're going to find yourself down 1-2, 0-2, and then the at-bat's pretty much over. But that wasn't the case yesterday, because they were able to draw some walks. And then ultimately, when you have the threat of power, I will say it all season long until there is a power outage, but the threat of power can carry this Cubs team a long way. I think the threat of power can carry them to a division title at minimum. And who knows what happens if you get hot in the playoffs and if you have, I don't know, good third base play.
Well, yeah, and that's a topic we'll get into. But when it comes to what you're seeing with the hard contact, like, for example, we just talked about Dansby Swanson last week, specifically early in the week. And Ian Happ's hit into that, where you know sometimes your exit velo and your at-bats and what you see on the film is just not showing up in the actual result. And again, you know that you've got people around you who can help you out. So what happens? You know, you hit the home run against the Pirates, you know, to the corner to show a little power. You hit the home run again in a game that maybe doesn't matter on paper, or the score doesn't matter as much, but it helps you get back to where you need to be. The other part of that is you're talking about walks. To me, the biggest piece of it, too, is you're walking because you're swinging the bat. And the difference is last year the Cubs were forcing walks, but they didn't have that threat of power. They just had really good pitch selection and really good pitch discipline. But in this case, it's not just that. It's that, you know, the pitcher on the other side of you is now expecting this team as a collective to do different things with the swing.
Also, when I talk about threat of power, I know there are the three home runs, right? But it's not like before that inning, there weren't balls being scorched just at people, we'll say. So you have four walks through four innings. You have balls getting hit hard. You can almost sense it like an avalanche coming down on Paul Skeens from that perspective.
I mean, it's like what you see when you're looking at good teams. You're like, oh no, lineup just turned over. You've got the heavy hitters coming up. What are you going to do about it? And then they showed you. And it's funny to get this excited over a series win over the Pirates. But again, these are the teams that you have to beat to ensure more success. If you really want to take a division, you did what you were supposed to do against a team that was struggling. Now you go into the real division rival here, the standard bearer of the Central, at their place, and really see what you've got to work with.
The odds tell you that other teams, when they face the Pirates, whether it's the Reds, the Brewers, or anyone else, they're going to win series. So you don't want to lose ground because you couldn't win series against the bottom of the barrel. I mean, that's something that played the Cubs last year, as they chased the Brewers all season long. So I'm just excited to see what the Cubs do as far as taking this momentum now into Milwaukee, win another series, keep it rolling. Just keep it rolling.
And then this segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Oh, 815. I did not realize that. They had to evacuate Soldier Field about 10 years ago for a tornado warning. Very stressful. very stressful situation. I like that we're so excited about the series coming up. We've got a lot to do with it today. Like we mentioned, we've got a lot of analysts coming on. Vinny Rotino, who's part of the pre and post game show, he's the analyst for the Brewers on FanDuel. He'll be here at 12:25. Heidi Watney, who always does great work with the Apple TV broadcast, she's with Wayne Randazzo. That will happen at 1 o'clock to talk about the series as well. I also just want to hear some of the finer points from what Craig Counsell had to say about the Cubs' approach against Paul Skenes.
I mean, I thought the whole game we did an excellent job against Skenes, and we were patient. We took good at bats. We hit the ball hard, and frustrating first four innings, but little assist from DK, getting everybody fired up, and you know, we ended up, you know, maybe that the things we did earlier helped us wear them out a little bit later. So very good job by the offense. Two strikeouts in a day Paul Skenes starts, that's a good day.
Cracks in the proverbial dam going through four innings, and then they just busted it open in the fifth, because balls that are hit hard that aren't hit at people but go over the wall, nothing that the defense can do about that.
No, and I joked that maybe the thing you had to beat Paul Skenes was be the Cardinals, because they had tagged him for five earned runs, but Cubs are able to do what they do, put on that power show that they continued to, and then you walk out of Pittsburgh with a win, you go into Milwaukee on a happy flight. Like, these are the things, you know, that's what makes you happy. You put up the crooked number, you know, the three in the fifth inning, two more in the seventh, three in the ninth, bada bing, bada boom. Colin Ray can breathe a little easier. You know, his ERA is up to, LOL, 146.
Jumped a whole half a run from 0.96
wow,
to 1.46.
Colin Ray, wow.
Listen, if Colin Ray is going to go out here and give you six innings of two-run ball every time out, that's adequate. More than adequate, I would argue.
I am still pretty happy that we have four pitchers in the circle of trust. The fact that four of your starting five are in the circle of trust of my starting pitchers, that's still pretty good.
Also, not only is that good that you have four out of five, I'd argue the fifth one can get right back in that circle with a dominant performance in Milwaukee tonight, because it's a big game and a big series.
Yeah, if there was ever a time to you know, try to figure out your pitch mix for Ben Brown, I don't think that happens magically tonight. But I do think that this is a start where you're keeping an eye on it for many reasons, not just it's the Brewers game, but that's his biggest test. We have more to come here on Raheemy and Harris on The Score. We continue with talking about not just the Cubs win over the Pirates as we look ahead to tonight's Brewers series, but also it's not the Kyle Tucker show. It's we got to give credit where it's due to what is happening on this lineup, and it stands to be a reason that he deserves his flowers. Seiya Suzuki next on The Score.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This is Maggie Gray with an Odyssey Sports Minute sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. J.J. Redick says the Lakers need to get into championship shape this offseason. On the surface, it's just coach speak. But when your star is Luka Doncic, it starts to feel like something more. Redick was a polarizing player. Now he's a first-time head coach trying to send messages without starting fires. Miss the mark, and he risks fracturing the fragile star coach dynamic before it even starts. I'm Maggie Gray.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here's the 3-0, and a high fly ball into deep left field. Canario going back. He looks up. This is gone. Saya gives the Cubs the lead.
Here comes the 1-2. Fly ball, deep left field, pretty well hit. Back goes Canario. That ball's back to the wall. Gone. Home run, Seiya Suzuki, his second of the day.
We love to hear Zach Zaidman and Pat Neron on the call in Pittsburgh. Cubs are in Milwaukee tonight. We're talking about the Brewers series all day long here on The Score. Tonight, the Cubs and Brewers meet for the first time this season in Milwaukee, Algonquin, for the good land. Pregame coverage begins at 6:35. First pitch is at 7:10. The only local broadcast of tonight's game can be heard on The Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We've talked a lot about Seiya Suzuki on this program. We will continue to. He gets paid the big bucks. That's why it's happening. You're the DH on this team right now, and I think that's part of why things are going better for him. But Seiya with a multi-homer game again, that was only the fifth of his big league career in the Cubs' win to close out that Pirates series. I appreciate what he's put together, especially since I think those first two games on a massive stage in Japan.
The fact that we're even referencing the first two games, that was such a long time ago. When I say long time ago, I don't mean just because it was the first two games of the season. They played two games, came back, played more exhibition baseball, and then like restarted the regular season. And so to see him morph into what he has become, which is a feared part of a feared lineup, is outstanding on his part.
Well, I also just wanted to say, those at-bats, he just looked so... Unfortunately, some people just fail very obviously. I was saying to you in the break that good athletes sometimes, the better you are, the worse it looks sometimes with the timing. You know, a Javi Baez strikeout to me is a good example of that. We'll get into the basketball one in the five on it segment at noon. You won't want to miss that. But either way, there were just times where you're watching him watch pitches that he should have hit go by. And you're asking, what's happening there? Well, that is not the case right now. I think we're seeing a different batter at the plate. And I know it's not his preferred decision to not field. But what he's doing right now, I do think that Kyle Tucker's protection in the lineup is helping him. But he's also doing something with it, which is what makes this so key. I just feel like I'm watching a more comfortable guy at the plate. He is not only taking a more aggressive approach when it comes to swinging on the first pitch of an at-bat, but you're also seeing the success. He may not be looking for the power, but it is finding him because of his timing right now and just how he's seeing everything. And maybe he's playing a little bit more relaxed, again, with what we talked about, having somebody else in the lineup where you know it's not up to you. And the production is there. Two home runs yesterday indicates that in a very good way, but that's not the only game where he's really shown promise as to who he should be on this team.
I think the one thing where I look at, and what's the difference between maybe this year and years past? One, yes, the lineup around him is better. We start there with Kyle Tucker and even how productive Michael Bush has been behind him, right? When you talk about having a switch hitter lead off in Ian Happ and then a lefty, righty, lefty with Michael Bush. And he's the righty in there, and he's certainly benefiting from being sandwiched between Kyle Tucker, who's one of the best hitters in baseball, and a Michael Bush who has played as well as you could have probably imagined him playing in the role that he's been designated in. And so you wondered maybe how, because remember all offseason it was, well, he wants to play in the outfield. He wants to play in the outfield. Well, guess what? You're going to DH because that's the role that you're going to have on this team. And you wondered how he would take that. I'm not going to lie, Layla, I was worried about him after seeing those first two games and even the start of the regular season. Okay, is he going to be able to accept his role and be comfortable in that role? And I think he's done a great job of being the guy that the Cubs need him to be, and maybe even exceeding expectations because of the fact that he has 9 home runs, which is one off the major league leading pace. I mean, he's got 6 doubles. His OPS is 990. He's doing the things that you want a middle of the order bat to do.
And this is just a different team with everybody slugging like this. And he's a different man when he is slugging like this. And it's not just cheap home runs. These are in clutch situations. You know, you're trying to put together a run like we talked about. How many runs are you scoring per inning? How are you taking advantage of a pitcher who might be on the ropes like you did yesterday? That fifth inning home run was a 3-0 pitch. Green light, go get him. And he took exactly that approach.
We love a green light, don't we?
I when we get them.
Sometimes we love a yellow or a red light because who cares? We're moving it.
Exactly. And the beauty of this conversation is, how many times are we sitting here talking about somebody who needs to step it up and it doesn't happen?
Right. And so to have this time right now where we can talk about how positively, and maybe, you know, I hate to bring it up, but we were told in the offseason, in spring training, leading up to the regular season, even in the early parts of the regular season, you know, for this team to achieve its ultimate goals, which is getting to the playoffs, aka winning the division, preferably.
Yeah, and, Brewers, yeah.
And making a run, certain players would have to exceed expectations. Let's be honest. If you look up and down the club Cubs lineup right now, certain guys are exceeding expectations. And I would put Seiya Suzuki in that bucket. He's playing well, but he's playing better than even I had hoped he would play. I didn't expect him to be fourth in the league in slugging percentage. When I say the league, I mean the major leagues in slugging percentage.
Yeah, that is, it's what we wanted to happen, but I was very skeptical. I was extremely skeptical.
How could you not be after what you saw take place last season?
And they say all the time, you know, good veterans will shorten their slumps, and when you want somebody to step up, they will, and all of this. This is just what happens when you have a bigger collection of talent on the team. It's what happens when you have a 5-WAR, career 5-WAR guy in Kyle Tucker, arguably bordering 6. You know, that's what happens, you know? So this is part of it. Carson Kelly is outperforming expectations, my word.
So is his counterpart Miguel Amaya. Now, not on the level that Carson Kelly is doing it, but catching position is giving them so much.
The standard was high for Miguel Amaya. And I appreciate that because I think that he will live up to that. You know, you're seeing consistent improvement there on all fronts, and especially just what he brings as far as the battery is concerned. I do appreciate what Craig Counsell had to say about Seiya Suzuki, so let's listen to that.
I must say, what is it about his swing where he's able to make such hard contact consistently?
He's a strong man. He's got a beautiful swing, and he's a strong man, and that's it.
Simple, yet poetic. A strong man, a beautiful swing.
Wouldn't you want to hear that from your manager?
Listen, I'm not one to read my own press clippings. I know a lot of players do. Some players don't. If you're reading your press clippings right now, as a member of the Chicago Cubs, if your name's not Matt Shaw and your name is not Ben Brown, you're pretty happy. Because the manager's giving credit where credit is due. Their offense continues to pummel and beat up the teams that they're supposed to beat up, frankly.
Pummel, such a good active verb. Ron Coomer was also on This Morning with Mully and Haw and discussed that very thing, Saya's success.
DHing is not an easy position, and usually it's for a veteran guy. Now, he's played a lot of baseball. He's played a lot in Japan. He's played, you know, a few years here now. So he's, you know, pretty comfortable in the baseball setting. Maybe taking that pressure off him playing right field after he had some struggles has really freed up his mind and lets him, you know, just compete as a hitter right now, and that's worked for him. And obviously it is. He's swinging the bat better now than he has in any time of his big league career. So that's been very good. The other thing, too, he's using the other side of the field. He's hit some opposite field home runs and got some hits the other way and back through the middle. Very good. He did a thing this winter, too, where he made a little adjustment in his swing. That's one thing. But he really committed himself in the gym, lifting. And he is a much stronger guy, too. And that's, he was always a strong guy, but, you know, he's gained some weight, good weight, you know, and strength, and it's really paying off for him. But he gets a little stoic with the interviews, and I don't know what the reason for that is. I know what you're saying, because it was on our monitors. Pat and I were signing off yesterday, and yesterday's ball game, in game, when they went to him after second home run, that smile is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, maybe a couple more of the really good days and get him in Wrigley Field. We'll see that guy on an interview one time. But as long as he keeps hitting, he can do whatever he wants in post-game interviews. I don't care.
The last thing he said was the most important. As long as he keeps hitting, he can do whatever he wants in his post-game interviews.
I know it is so hard to have fun publicly when your team is struggling, or at least feel like you can be yourself comfortably. And I appreciate that. We've talked about his sense of humor that he will show at times, you know, like the video that went viral with him in the baseball and then like pretending like it was his precious and having some fun with that, or just enjoying what he's doing right now. And there are personalities on this team, that's for sure. But when it comes to just whatever is most authentic to him and being comfortable, maybe he's, you know, maybe the wheels are turning and he's trying to translate along with the discussion when it comes to a foreign language. I try to do that. I fail. Ray knows I attempted Spanish, especially when I was working with people who worked at Telemundo every day. It was a lot easier to kind of process as you go. But I just think the best part of this is that he's being the guy they hired him to be right now.
He's definitely on the field giving the production that they had hoped for when they signed him. Many moons ago.
Feels like it.
Yeah, right? But the reality is we're locked into this contract and we're locked into a guy that's batting in the top third of your order who is producing. All that being said, you know what's crazy to me, Layla? I don't think he had the most important part of this series as far as an individual performance. Do you know who I think that belongs to?
Mm-mm.
Belongs to the guy who was under the Mendoza line, who's now over the Mendoza line coming out of this series. The guy who's got a 3-game hitting streak because he happened to go 5-for-11 in the series.
Do Ray and I say his name dramatically?
If you know it, say it.
Is it Dansby?
Dansby Swanson.
It's Dansby Swanson.
Dansby Swanson.
I feel like on a Friday we can do that.
No,
right?
No, listen.
This is Dansby Swanson.
I don't know if that's what Craig Counsell has running through his mind when he's writing his name in the lineup card, but the decision to move him down to 8 seems to have paid immediate dividends at the most opportune time, because basically you had a situation where the left side of your infield was giving you nothing offensively.
Yes, and by the way, there is an update on that.
What you got?
I know we're running up against it time-wise. I think we're going to get into this more on Monday, because we should.
Okay.
Really good deep dive came out just before our show started from Patrick Mooney and Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic, talking about the Cubs' situation at third base. We were discussing it this week on our show. I believe I used the term crater. Well, it turns out that the crater is not only for the Cubs. The crater is league-wide.
Relative to other positions, third base has not been as hot a corner as you would have hoped.
Oh, my word. This is the best part that I've read so far, and I really do think that we need to look into this a little bit more. I'll do some general baseball research over the weekend, too. But this is fantastic. It says, the truth is that the offensive production from third baseman is nearing an all-time low. It's not just them. Entering play on Thursday, third baseman had a 93 weighted runs created plus that is currently the second lowest mark in baseball behind second baseman. that 93 weighted runs created plus at the position would be the third lowest mark for third baseman since 1950.
So in our lifetimes is what you're saying.
In fact, since 2021, only the 2022 season wouldn't rank among the bottom 10 seasons in offensive productivity over the last 75 years. In general, there seems to be a dearth of offensive talent at the position right now.
Don't read that next sentence.
Here's the best part. This is the closer, Kira Sedgwick style. Oh, man. Yet, Bregman still remained a free agent in the middle of February.
I ask you not to read that.
Ain't that the truth?
I ask you not to read that because I know the pain that comes for all the people listening and watching and wondering why were the Cubs not even a top two consideration for Alex. I mean, I know the reason why. The bag was not big enough.
Right, but the Foul Territory podcast, just uncovering that nugget of it where he honestly says, I thought it was going to be the Tigers. I was like, oh, he's going to say Cubs, right?
No.
Wrong.
No. The Tigers are out here trying to win. And I'm not saying win as in win their division. They're trying to see how far they can go. And they're throwing bags at people bigger than the bags that the Cubs are throwing at people. Think about that.
Think about how the Red Sox, for example, trade for Garrett Crochet, who's the favorite for the AL Cy Young right now. They are trying.
Everyone's trying to. Well, sorry. Most teams are trying to win. Some are just trying a little bit harder.
Well, that is true. I also think, though, that a team that has been labeled as trying to win, or not trying to win, actually, may be doing a little bit more than we think.
Jury's still out on that, and I'll tell you, at my stance is, I think there's more to be done. Way more to be done.
Well, yeah.
I see you, though, with the crumbs. You're throwing me crumbs like Hansel and Gretel.
Here's how I know sometimes a hitter is due. It's not necessarily that they hit the home run. It's that they force a really good walk.
Okay.
And I feel like, relatively speaking, that's what we may be seeing out of White Sox. A White Sox.
You know what? I will take it.
All
right. Because even though those crumbs are going to end up with me being in an oven getting cooked, I'm used to being cooked as a White Sox fan.
So many analogies. The disclaimer is really doing its part today.
You know what it is. You know what you're going to get every day, okay?
But you don't. Yesterday was a good example.
Okay.
We will discuss it in more clear terms. Just, you know, sit on that for a little bit. You know, marinate, if you will. Next on The Score.
Stanley Swanson.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Vargas high in the air to left field, backing up is Bowers. He keeps going back and it's gone. Miguel Vargas, now an 8-game hit streak, his second home run of the season. And he gives the Sox a 4-0 lead here in the sixth.
Well, we told you earlier in the game, it's just a matter of time until that power starts to come to him because he's a big, strong young man.
Wow, look at all the people we have talking about strong people today. What a lovely day. Also, I see what you did there, Robbie. And I'm not even going to say it. Either you know what just was referred to or you don't. That's the beauty of Raheem and Harris on The Score.
But well, Robbie's out here doing yeoman's work.
That is a show within a show.
Yeah.
But either way, it's not just the home run Miguel Vargas hit. It's the fact that, like John Schriffen said on CHSN with Steve Stone, that he's on an 8-game hit streak. The happiness of being able to talk about a White Sox on an 8-game hit streak. I know that it happens on bad teams. I'm not saying that. But this is a person who has a lot of focus on him because he was part of the return from that Eric Fetty and Michael Kopech trade, Tommy Pham, that multi-team deal that involves sending Tommy Edman to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Is it bad that I miss Tommy Pham?
No.
And what he brings?
Tommy Pham has been in the news lately. You know, the making contact.
How about
with fans.
People don't touch him? Don't touch Tommy Pham when he's at work.
Yeah, that was the part I didn't understand. As a fan, you should know better. I don't think he should be punished for that.
They're super entitled in every way, the fans. When they are out here, they're too close, and you know what? Maybe everybody does need netting because that might prevent people getting touched.
All I'm saying is people really complained about netting until it got done at a lot of ballparks, the rate included, and look what happened. Nothing happened. You know what happens? Nothing, because that's what preventative things happen. That's what they result in. Nothing. It's a good thing. But the production we're seeing out of Miguel Vargas, I think, is valid because, again, just like we talked about earlier in the week, with it being a indictment on the franchise, if Colson Montgomery isn't developed in a way that is productive for the big league team, it's also a good thing that you're seeing a player that you saw something in when a lot of us didn't and put such value into him in that trade is producing at a level right now that is consistent and something that is visible in wins.
So he's 13 for his last 29, right? .448 batting average over that span, which he's seen his average jump from .139 to .219. This is all well and good, but what's more important is he's driving in runs. He's coming up with big hits. I know it was a bullpen game yesterday against the Brewers, but who cares? Just get on a roll and stay on a roll by any means necessary.
You play the games on your schedule. You take advantage of your wins where you can.
Exactly. And so he's been very good during this 8-game hitting streak. And the 3 RBI he had yesterday, that was the third time in his career that he had that many ribbies in a game. I know people see RBI as an overrated stat. I'm like, yo, driving runs, you driving runs.
You know when it wasn't an overrated stat? When Jose Abreu led the league in them, and that was an indicative stat when it came to the White Sox offensive success.
I believe it also affected the MVP voting that year, did it not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so listen, I'm not going to sit here and act like RBI is the hitting version of wins, you know? So I just want to say, when you think about guys like Chase Mydroth coming back,
right,
and Miguel Vargas playing well, and Sean Burke pitching well, it seems like the White Sox are playing better baseball, even if the wins and losses don't necessarily reflect it. Although they have won 3 out of, I think, their last 8 games. So
they're now 8-23. The Brewers are .500 at 16-16 after that 8-0 loss yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, it was a big win for the White Sox and for the Cubs, because you knock off the Brewers, maybe now the Cubs can roll into Milwaukee, get a series win, and keep things rolling as far as the division lead and everything else.
And I think we're going to get into that a little bit. Just there was some, when people talk about the Brewers and how they plan out the season, we focus a lot for them on September and October. I want to provide some discussion that would indicate it's earlier than that. That's at 12:45. But when you look at Miguel Vargas, for example, the reason we're talking about him producing more is because he made a change to his swing mechanics. Yeah, easy to say, not easy to do, but evening out his bat path. Well, we know that it doesn't matter from where you start. It's where the low comes in and what you're doing as far as evenly distributing where your head is, where the plane of the bat is, when it matters the most in your swing path.
Yeah.
He's producing.
This is the starting point of the swing when your hands come down.
An easier way to say it is, how much of the strike zone are you covering with your barrel? Is it the optimal amount? That's what will likely result in a hit.
I like the way you said easier to say than do, because a lot of people try to tinker with their approach at the plate, but they fall into bad habits. They find it hard to get comfortable with a new approach at the plate. But clearly, what Miguel Vargas is doing is working for him. And I think this is big for Will Venable. Every individual that gets going, because that's how you get a lineup going. They scored 8 runs yesterday.
Well, that's it. They took advantage, you know, and especially when Craig Yoho came into the game, they were able to capitalize. Also, third game of the series for the Brewers. We've talked about that for the Cubs, but I feel like it's valid here as well. But here's the other thing is, I thought that there was a big drop-off when Vargas came here as a result of that trade. He struggled last season. There was no question. Like, originally, before he got traded, the OPS was .735 and 80 plate appearances for LA. It was only 80. I get that. But, you know, he comes here, and his OPS for the rest of the season was .387.
That's the on-base plus the slugging, right?
It's roughly
half. It's not
half.
One or either.
That is roughly half. So you're asking yourself, How did the trade result in this type of performance for this, the key centerpiece of the deal? And is this, again, another indication of what the White Sox are doing with their players? Or is it that you didn't evaluate the talent properly when you decided to make this transaction? But when you see what's happening now, this is something you can look for positivity. And I think it also speaks to what else we're seeing out of the White Sox. You know, credit to the morning show. I think Dustin brought it up. Of course, Mully, he even had his Sox swag on today. But even just the simple stat of right now, you know, through a little over a month of the season, the White Sox are fifth in Major League Baseball in offense scored in the first inning.
And what that does, Layla, when you talk about being a top five team in runs scored in the first inning, that in and of itself, regardless of the overall record of the 8-23, right, it says we are here to play baseball today, not to keel over and die.
Kyle Teal?
K-E-E-L. So no, I'm just saying, go back to a year ago when you would watch a White Sox game. Remember, I watched...
Oh, I hosted pre- and post games. I definitely recall.
Of White Sox games. It seemed like when you were watching a game, after two or three innings, the game felt like it was over. That has not been the case thanks to, one, the little spark at the beginning of the game, but also just good starting pitching. More consistent. Last year it was like Fetty, it was Crochet, and then it's like
Cannon came on, but you know, injuries are a concern. Like they had some flashes from guys, but unfortunately there has been so many Tommy John surgeries to talk about and season enders that we don't get to discuss the year to year like that.
Every day is TJ season.
Ugh, that is brutal. The White Sox start a three-game set, by the way, tonight with the Astros. This is not your older sister's Astros, okay? This is a different team right now. Astros are 16-14. Now, can they get on a roll at any time? You bet.
I mean, they're above 500 in AL West, which is not an easy division. I'd argue it's the second-best division in baseball. I know people in the AL East are going to be like, what?
Framber Valdez is on the mound for the Astros. He knows a thing or two, but he's only 1-3 this season. Kind of an indication of at what time this season you're getting them.
Maybe the Sox get a series win.
Maybe they do. Do we give away or like tease the giveaway already?
No, I got it right here.
I know we have to break, but I think it's important we tell people about free stuff.
Well, especially because it's Mully and Haw. Keep listening for your chance to win your way in to see Mully and Haw do their show live Friday, May 16th at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Be a part of the studio audience as they get you set for the start of the Crosstown Series with special guests and plenty of Cubs Sox chatter plus popcorn. Will be provided by Nuts on Clark. That's Friday, May 16th, and it's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all, and there is even a rumor that David Haw himself may be popping popcorn.
But will it be in a tux?
Why?
And an apron. Could be an apron over a tux.
That would make it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
We have more to come here on Raheemy and Harris on The Score. It was a big discussion earlier in the week. The free agent status therein, possibly, of Nick Chubb. A little more context to that has been given. We'll check it out and how it may relate to the Bears next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.